Next item on the agenda is Taryn Rowland, Oyster Planting Ground Application 2015-141. Mr. Stagg.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Second to get my paperwork straight here.
We're all good.
So this is a oyster ground lease application in the name of Taryn Rowland. It was received in 2015. The original request was for a larger acreage than you see here, and I'll cover that in the eval. It was reduced by the applicant, or the request. It is heavily protested by a number of local property owners. And before we start, I did get two letters and emails came in too late, it came in over the weekend to go in your book. One specifically was addressed, he is a protestant and is on record as protesting the project, indicating that he didn't believe that notice, there was enough notice given, and is asking the commission, and I'm going to hand that to you, that you consider deferring the project for up to 90 days. The second packet I'll give you came from a existing protestant, also concerned about the notice period. So we sent out the notice about 10 to 12 days before the meeting, which is always the way we've done it. There isn't anything in the code, I don't think, that addresses that issue particularly, but that's the notice. And this project has been public noticed properly in the past, and I'll explain that in the eval. The second letter, while it talks about the notice, also is a letter that the woman asked to be read to the record, including her previous protest letter. However, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to give you copies. This will be added to the official record. They are collated, so that once you take the clip off, thank you. So having said that, into the nuts and bolts. So in June of 2015, we did receive and accept an application from Taryn Rowland, in which she requested to lease approximately 250 acres of subaqueous bottomland within the Rappahannock River in Lancaster County. We did subject the application to our normal public interest review as required by the Code of Virginia. And the applicant, because we have such a long backlog, opted at a point to hire a private land surveyor to do the survey for her, which we allow as long as they work with us. So the area was surveyed in October of 2015 by Bay Design Group. And they submitted a plat to VMRC, which at that point contained 216.11 acres. Some of the area that was closer to the shoreline was excluded from that survey due to the presence of submerged aquatic vegetation, and therefore reduce that area that they surveyed from the original 250 acres. As a result of the public interest review and the surveying of the area, we did receive a number of objections, 13. There's a list of those in your packet, as well as actual copies of the letters and staff's correspondence back to the protestants. The issues raised by the protestants included, well, let me show you the application area. So it's in the Rappahannock River. Rappahannock River Bridge is to the east here. The application is located here. This is the current configuration the applicant's actually asking for. However, this was the actual drawing they submitted with their application, which was the entire 250 acres. So this is a composite of both of those. This is the outline of the original application, and this is the three areas that the applicant has now requested, and I'll explain that in detail as we get further into the evaluation. A number of people that live along the shoreline and into Paynes Creek have protested the project. As you can see, we have leases both to the south and north of this, some of which are relatively old and some more modern leases. This is the survey plat that Bay Design Group did originally. They did exclude some SAV area here. However, there is SAV also in this area. So this plat would not have been acceptable. Even if it had not been protested, we would have required a revised plat from Bay Design Group to address that issue. So this is a map showing the Bay Design Survey and the SAV area this is the outer line of it. So as you can see, there was considerable area up into the area they surveyed. So again, that would have had to been corrected. But after the protest, this kind of got bogged down in the protest process. So this was the compromise, and I'll get to that as we get further into the evaluation. So the issues that were raised by the protestants include a number of things, including potential hazards to navigation, obviously the existence of submerged aquatic vegetation in the application area, conflicts with other existing uses, including commercial crabbing, possible adverse impacts to property values, highland property values, as well as viewshed concerns and user conflicts with the nearshore area for swimming and boating. The applicant was notified of these concerns for her consideration and review. And in an attempt to address those concerns of the protestant, the applicant provided staff with a modified proposal, which you see on the screen, with specific coordinate locations of these three polygons for three smaller areas within the footprint of the original application. These three smaller areas do avoid impacts to the submerged aquatic vegetation using our current standard of the past five-year period of submerged aquatic vegetation within the area. They also believe this attempt would address some of the navigation issues by placing all of this requested areas further offshore, away from people's highland property and piers. The three revised areas contain 50, 16, and 26 acres. So this is our office mapped these using their coordinates, which are actually very accurate, and intersected them with the public ground. This is public ground offshore. So these are the three areas they are now requesting. The darker line represents the original footprint of the whole application. This compromise area was forwarded to all the protestants on record at the time. Some did not respond, but the ones that did not drop their objections. So the application is still protested by all of the original protestants as far as I can tell. So we did carefully review this modified proposal, which now avoids all impacts to SAV. These three smaller areas are situated approximately 900 to 1,300 feet offshore of the highland and over 850 feet from any of the existing piers along the shoreline. It would appear that even if the applicant were to place cages in these areas up to the allowed 12-inch minimum height above the substrate, which is allowed by regulation, navigation would only be impacted minimally.
That's 12-inch maximum. Maximum. You said minimum. It's maximum in the record.
No, I'm saying that navigation would only be impacted minimally if they were to put cages on the areas that they've requested. Okay. The regulation that allows cages has a condition that says you can't put cages on a lease if it's going to more than minimally impact navigation. So it does allow for some minimal impact.
But Ben, I'm just reading the record. I mean, the evaluation you had, if you follow me, on the next to the last line, it says these areas up to the allowed 12-inch maximum height above the substrate.
Right.
And you said minimum in there.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I just want to clarify the record. Yeah. We're good to go.
Maximum 12 inches.
Correct.
We believe that the location, the impact would be minimal.
Right. Sorry. Yep. All good.
I didn't understand.
Yes, sir.
Wrong place in the sense.
Yes, sir.
However, having said that, the entrance to Payne's Creek, which is at the northern end of this application area, is where the majority of the private piers are located, and also, of course, the creek itself. It's a pretty small creek with a pretty shallow opening, but it is navigable. This portion of the lease would appear to be that they're requesting beyond the area where normal nearshore activities like swimming would occur. Navigation to deeper water could be impacted by this northern polygon for people exiting the creek and or going straight offshore from their piers. It may be prudent, therefore, to allow for an additional non-leased area between the existing leases to the north and the start of any new polygon at the northern end. So water depths in this area are generally range from about 4 to 18 feet, but more typically are to 4 to 10 feet in depth for most of the area being requested. While use of this area for on-bottom cage aquaculture may result in some area becoming unavailable for crab potting, that was one of the objections that the protestants raised, it would not appear that approval of the requested lease would have more than a minor impact on crabbing activities, particularly in the light of the large amount of area available for crabbing within this whole entire reach of the Rappahannock River. So this again shows you, I put this photo up so you could actually see the SAV without a color over top of it. So these dark areas you see are submerged aquatic vegetation, which these polygons do avoid. Again, this is a composite map. So what I have turned on here is, this is BIMS's data, is the 2011-15 average plus year 2017. So 16 is actually missing here because they haven't updated the five-year running total yet. The 16 is very similar to 17. And as you can see, except for this little corner right here, and then I'm going to address that in a second, the colored is the 2017. The line is the composite. That includes all of these years. They did avoid, with this request, the current SAV. I've spoken to VIMS about this, and Lyle can address this further if needed, but I got that they don't believe SAV will go any further offshore here due to the water depth change, that this is probably about as far out as it will go. As the water gets deeper, it can't survive in certain depths of water. So, after carefully reviewing the revised proposal of the applicant and considering the concerns of the protesters, it appears that most of their objections could be mitigated by these three polygon requests of the applicant. Since the applicant does wish to use on-bottom cage aquaculture, it's our belief, that's what they've stated, these three smaller areas seem more appropriate than leasing the entire area originally requested, even excluding the SAV. However, to accommodate navigation for residents along the Rappahannock River shoreline and any residents that live within Payne's Creek, we do recommend an area approximately 500 feet in width to be removed from the northernmost polygon for continued and future navigation access. And that's depicted in this drawing. So this is the northernmost polygon only. And I'll note, I think the opposition will probably reference this, that the distances that the applicant proposed here are wider than 500 feet. They're 900 to 1,200 feet gaps. But it seems to me that the entrance to the creek is here. Obviously, there's already leases here. So to address this issue, I think it's prudent to leave some alleyway here as well as these people who would either have to go here or around here if there was enough cages here to block their access. And that's a question of whether that would ever be that many cages placed here. But in any event, we're recommending excluding this area, which would be 9.62 acres, making this northernmost polygon, reducing that acres down to 41.08 acres. So we do recommend approval of a modified request, reducing the final acreage of the three polygons added together of 80.66 acres of state-owned sub-acres bottomlands. If approved, either as the applicant has currently requested without the 500-foot or with the 500-foot setback from the existing leases to the north, we would suggest that the corners for these areas be marked, because the only survey that's been done is the original survey by Bay Design Group, so this configuration is not marked in the field. And of course, the corners are different. We would suggest that they have to be marked in the field to reflect this, whatever you approve, if you approve anything. And of course, three plats be made by their surveyor and submitted to our office for review. And then we could assign the three leases if approved. And they would become three separate leases all under one application number. Hopefully I've covered the points here. Again, the protestants' letters and our staff correspondence back and forth are in your packet. I'd be happy to try to answer any questions.
Any questions? Mr. Tankard.
Has any of this area been leased in the past?
Not this particular spot. We've seen a big influx of applications. A lot of leases in the Rappahannock on both sides of the river, outside the public ground, because the public ground runs basically the whole center of the river. But they're kind of spotty in the past. We're seeing people apply for all of the gaps that are left
right.
between existing leases. For example, this lease, these two numbers indicate that these are very old leases. That's a plat file number, and our plat file numbers are now, you know, in the 14,000, 15,000, and this one's 6210. So that lease is really, both of these are really old leases. So to answer your question, no, this area was not leased in the past, but okay. it's not uncommon to see these areas in the Rappahannock being applied for now.
Mr. Ballard?
The commission may recall the ones that were here that we had an application just like this, two of them, by the Bryce family. Karen Rowland is a member of the Bryce family, just north of this. And the commission denied one and approved one in modified form. So these are similar applications, similar, same issues, SAV and user conflicts with Highland properties.
Mr. Ballard?
Can you educate me a little bit on history and precedent of these access areas, the 500-foot wide channel, as well as when we approve leases, I believe there's some requirement that they only minimally affect navigation, and what tools do we have if an area that was 2 feet deep was covered in cages? And there was no navigation. Do we have tools after the fact to make them reconfigure the cages in a certain way? Or?
So I say the tool we have is, you're looking at him, and Hank Badger. So if we get a complaint, we certainly work. We listen to the protestant. We often get law enforcement involved to make sure we understand the issue, and law enforcement's on the water all the time to help us determine, is it really causing a navigation impact that's more than minimal? And we make that determination. It's in the regulation. You know, that's what it says in the regulation, minimally immersed in navigation. So that's a kind of subjective term. But we do make people move cages sometimes when we get a complaint. If someone says they're having trouble getting in and out from their pier because the cages are in the way, we have the authority by the regulation to tell them to remove or move them to a new location. Certainly, if it becomes an issue like in this instance, I think we would work with the applicant to say, can you group these into areas and mark them properly and leave alleyways inside of the lease itself to allow people to navigate? Now, if they do put cages on any of these areas, by regulation, they have to mark the area where the cages are, and they have to be marked with the signs that indicate there are structures underwater, either aquaculture structures or underwater obstructions. But they're not allowed to put signs up saying no trespassing, so people can continue to traverse over the cage. They are warned by sign if they choose to go through. You can continue to fish and do all the things you could, albeit you fish over a cage, kind of maybe losing your lure, but probably a longer answer than you wanted. But.
As a follow-up, I'm curious as to, it seems like we're almost trying to prescribe a 500-foot wide channel here, which is wide, and doing that by modifying a lease as opposed to those after-the-fact tools of if navigation's impacted, there's tools to allow channels.
I guess let me finish answering the first question. You know, there's two leases here, obviously, to the north. So in the past, we would have leased into Payne's Creek had it been probably a bigger creek if someone had asked, and wouldn't have excluded a channel because it's not an official federal channel. Because historically, people just put orchards on the bottom, and it didn't typically cause any problem with navigation. But now, with cage aquaculture, it's added a new facet that we really have to look at with new applications, we believe, so that, and particularly when they're protested, and navigation is one of the things that's raised. So, and I got specific protests or concerns about this northern polygon from some of the people that live at the northern end. That, well, wow, the applicant voluntarily left some alleyways here. Seems to us that, because that's where most of the boating activity, that there ought to be one more alleyway. The 500 foot, I just picked, okay?
Yeah.
It could be narrower. It's a recommendation from staff. The commission can certainly not do any additional alleyway. You could make it smaller. I tried to do a compromise between what the applicant voluntarily did, which was 900 to 1,200 feet gaps between the other two, and something I thought was reasonable to still navigate a boat easily. I mean, 500 feet, you're right, is a very wide area. Channels are typically, you know, 50 or 60 feet at the, for a federal channel. So so that's the rationale. Certainly, it was it's a recommendation to the commission. If y'all feel it needs to be tweaked, you know, that's up to you.
Further questions? Ms. Everett? I'm sorry.
Is the applicant agreeable to the 80.66 acres?
I have not addressed this with the applicant yet, so I believe they're here.
Okay.
My understanding is the applicant would like to get something. They are fairly new business, but they are trying to expand, and they need some areas, according to them. I'll let them speak to that. Obviously, they asked for a very large area. They scaled it back, understanding that SAB wasn't going to be leased anyway, and made some concessions in hopes that this would address the property owners. My guess is they're probably willing to accept some reduction here, but
Ms. Everett?
And so related to that, it sounds like they're not doing on-bottom, they're doing cages. So they wouldn't, I guess my question would be, is the 80.66 enough suitable of hard bottom for them to work with? But again, you can't speak for the applicant, but no. Maybe moot if they're doing cages and not.
This bottom, I think, is relatively, until you get out into the public ground area, is relatively hard. I mean, you'll probably get some people going to stand up and say, the protesters, that they, on a really low tide, they're going to walk all the way out to where it is. Mm-hmm. Which you probably can't. Mm-hmm. So it's a relatively hard bottom, I think. And I think that's why the applicant applied for this, because they felt it was good bottom to do cage agriculture. But again, I'll let them address that.
And last question.
Yes, ma'am.
What is the relevance of Exhibit F, Army Corps of Engineers Oyster Restoration Plan for Virginia?
That was part of one of the protestants. They had a bunch of exhibits in it. I put it in your packet so you could see it.
Okay.
I think to highlight SAV and the importance of it, but it was a PowerPoint presentation.
Right.
I told the protester when they sent it, I couldn't even download it. It just churned my computer forever. We finally got it downloaded, and we compressed it so we could actually work with it. But we'll make it part of the record. So.
Thank you. Dr.
The lease directly north, or the two leases directly north, what are they being used for?
As far as I know, they're old leases, and I don't believe there's any cages on them, and I'm not even sure whether they're really being actively used much. Obviously, they've gotten them renewed somehow by meeting the minimum requirements, but I don't have any real – I didn't research a whole lot what was going on with those. I just felt that should they want to put cages on those – which they could, and we lease all the way up to them, then we have excluded a large area here in light of current cage aquaculture type activity that it could cause some impacts to people trying to navigate in this area.
Mr. Tanker.
You mentioned the creek above. In this photo, I just see the homes that are offshore. Or
creek. It goes off the screen and comes back around here.
Okay, so is there really a significant number of people coming in and out of that?
I believe there's only one or two property owners that this guy has a pier, and there might be one more. I can't remember if there's another one to the north. I think someone's here that lives or owns some of that property that may address that. But clearly they were concerned when I talked to them, which is one of the driving forces of why I kind of looked at creating this additional alleyway that I hadn't thought of until just fairly recently. But I think it might benefit these people some. I mean, obviously this is still right in front of them. But it would give them an option to go north or south. And, I mean, the water depths here are pretty much similar everywhere.
Yeah. Thank you.
Further questions? Thank you, Ben. Is the applicant present or represented? Ma'am? And, sir? Let's see you behind the pole.
Hi. Thank you guys for... Oh. Okay, I guess they'll stand with me now, too.
Are both of you going to testify?
Yes.
You raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony you give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Thank you.
All right.
Proceed, ma'am.
Thank you for hearing us very much. We were actually, apologize for the up and down, thought we were in the middle of brokering an arrangement with the protestants, but we found out after the fact, as this was starting, that there is one couple here that we didn't talk to, so we're not sure if this arrangement is going to work. I guess I can speak to our adjustments and then I don't know if, I'm assuming it's too late to ask for an extension to try and talk to this couple to see if we can avoid, if we can work on an arrangement with them, or if not, I'm happy to move forward.
Just a second. Deferring back to former Commissioner Pruitt, who many years ago would allow such activity to occur as a sidebar, to potentially come to an agreement, I'll let the commission decide if they want to allow the applicant, keeping in mind that it does break up the actual presentation and flow of the presentation. What's the pleasure of the commission as far as allowing? And what we would do, let me just explain, we'll take the next case, and you may be, whatever, how long it takes for the next case to be heard, to come back here. So if would they allow you to do that, would that, that's satisfactory, I presume?
Yes. We just want to be good neighbors. And
how does the commission feel? Mr. Ballard?
I would just question whether it might be something that could happen during this hearing. I think we've seen in the past where folks kind of give a head nod, and would that be agreeable to you? And but if you need to be behind closed doors, I'd be okay with it. But if it's rather informal, I have seen it take place on the record.
Okay. There's a gentleman with his hand raised. Yes, sir. Do you have something germane to the discussion? Yes, sir. Can you come up to the microphone, please? I am. If you raise your right hand, please, solemnly swear the testimony you give be the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth, except you, God. State your name, please.
Michael Green.
Yes, sir.
417 Courtney Road. I'm at the bottom of this, this plan. So there's been some back and forth this morning, as you can see, and as Ms. Rowland has indicated. This is a new development for all of us as we walked in today. I think, speaking only for myself, we do not have a spokesman that, that speaks for the entire group, but there is about 8 to 10 people involved in this, as Mr. Stagg indicated. Speaking for myself and my family, we're willing to consider this accommodation, and it seems like a reasonable compromise. It would be wise, I believe, if we could get this in a little more substantive fashion, maybe a new write-up of the request so that the people can take a look at it. I cannot speak for the people who were not able to be here this morning. As Mr. Stagg indicated, there were several people who wanted to be here. One guy's having chemotherapy. A couple people couldn't get up here in time. We had 10 days notice on this. So I would respectfully request that we consider this accommodation. I would respectfully request that we have the opportunity to see it in writing and consider it in good time. And I would also say that if that's not going to happen, I'm willing to go forward with my presentation at the earliest moment.
Ben.
So if you want them to meet now in the room, that's a possibility. If you want them to have a month, the applicant obviously going to want to speak to this, to see if they, if this one little revision that I did to add another alleyway. I think all the protestants did see the three polygon option, but and defer it a decision until next month, that's certainly possible. If everyone comes to a conclusion, then it would not have to come back next month. If the protests are dropped and we come to an agreeable set of polygons here, then we could just administratively move forward with assigning the lease.
The matter's before the commission as to whether there will be a continuance or not of this matter. Chair will entertain a motion.
That she preferred not to continue it for another month.
The chair will entertain a motion. Ms. Lusk.
I think that staff has already worked hard on this issue. There's been, you know, there's been compromises that have been made in the matter before the board. I'm not in favor of continuing.
Okay, I think what we'll do is we'll proceed. You have a seat, sir, and ma'am, continue with your presentation. Thank you. I didn't mean to open up Pandora's box, but just sometimes it works out.
I appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am.
So, I'll be completely frank. We applied for this early on in our venture, and we made some mistakes with the original application. So we went back, and we think we tried reaching out to some members of the community and saw form letters start to come into BMRC in, as a petition, and just decided it was probably safest to come here as opposed to create a situation for the entire river, considering the Lynn Haven situation in the past. I will allow my husband to speak to what exactly the nuances of this. We do have some exhibits for everybody around. He'll speak to those in a little bit, but we have depths and SAB, so the commission can see what is...
have you seen these yet, Ben? Present that, Mr. Stagg.
So... the reason I'm hoping not to do it, I was hoping against the continuous, we've begun to run out of space on our two-acre riparian leases, and some folks up front know that we have another lease that is proving difficult to use right now. So we're hoping to move forward on this as quickly as possible, because on our riparian leases, we have grass moving in, and as environmentalists, we don't want to be anywhere near it, and it's also legal. So we thought... But no matter what happens here, we do hope to go back to the homeowners, regardless of what you guys do, decide or do not decide, and work with them and to find a good solution. So I will let my husband speak to the depths and SAV.
Thank you. Sir, could you state your name for the record, please?
James Rowland.
Yes, sir. Proceed.
So the handout is just a brief breakdown of how the depths work out. As you come to the end of the shoal here, it is shallow up to this point. Three-ish feet. Once you approach the polygons we put in, we start to get to 3.5-4 feet, and it steps down from there. The primary interest of us, depth-wise, is 4 to 6 feet. That works out best for us. We can work slightly deeper than that. 7 to 8 might work out. The up and down river polygons do represent the best work areas for us. Admittedly, the middle section is somewhat shallow. It is somehow devoid of grass. I'm not sure why, but it is, and it is a shallow area and shallow for us. But admittedly, that is more of a issue navigationally than others. We have spoken briefly with folks we have about moving forward to some slightly deeper areas. That is not a problem. We are amenable to a cutout up top or at some point in there, the width of which I will leave to y'all to determine the necessary particulars of. But it would leave us, I believe, sufficient area on this lease to work on. The upriver polygon we're looking at here does represent the area with the most boating activity, homeowners and whatnot. That is true. So a cut out at the top, if staff recommends that, is fine. Shifting it down, given the way the depths run, would have basically a similar impact no matter where the cutout is. So for simplicity's sake, the top is fine. Moving down is okay. It is a decent amount of area, so we do have some flexibility to work on some modifications here. That's not a problem. But that is really the only additional information we have at the moment. If there are questions.
Any questions, Mr. Rowland? Ms. Everett?
So it seems like the 80.66 acres is agreeable to you all as configured and proposed by staff.
Yes, ma'am. That'd be fine.
Okay. Further questions? But how long have y'all been in aquaculture business?
We've been actively growing oysters for about a year.
About a year.
We're starting to harvest this coming weekend.
Okay. All right. Any further questions? Thank you both very much. Anyone else in support of this project wishes to be heard? Anyone in opposition? Or anyone that wishes to be heard on the side of opposition? If you come forward, everyone come forward at the same time. Plenty of chairs up here. And please, please do not repeat the same objections that the neighbor has if you can avoid doing that. Got it. We're going to have one at the time at the podium, if you would, but I want to swear everybody at the same time. Everyone raise your right hand. You solemnly swear the testimony you give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God. All right, whoever's speaking first at the podium, the rest of y'all can have a seat, please.
Good morning, Mr. Bowman. My name is Mark Dodson.
Good morning, sir.
And one of the board members of the Beach Creek Community Association. which was founded last November. We're aware of the Rollins. And we were in contact this morning, and I believe we have an agreement in kind.
Okay.
And that would be three areas here. At a minimum, water depth of 5 feet, mean low water. No closer than that, and I believe everybody that here is a protester would agree to that, and the Rollins have agreed to it. That's the one thing we were just asking for, just a couple minutes, because I didn't have the opportunity to speak to one person.
Okay.
And I tapped him on the shoulder, and he said he was agreeable to that. So that being said, I think we have an agreement. It would work for the commission, the applicants, and the protesters. And that's all I have to say, unless anybody else has anything.
Does this gentleman speak for the rest of you as protesters? State your name for the record, please.
My name is John Gary Maynard. I'm the one that submitted the Exhibit F. I apologize for the length of it. As I put in my letter last April 17th, I know that you guys are fully aware of the impact of SAP. I only put that to the Corps of Engineers. If you look at handwritten page 37, it talks about the need to protect potential SAP. So I don't have any problem with it. I just don't know if I understand it. So if we could have it clearly articulated as to what the agreement is, I would be clear. I could approve it. That's all I'm asking for. If not, then I'll be glad to go forward and we can move. But I just want to make sure I understand what the agreement is. Mean low tide, the cages won't go less than 5 feet of deep, and we will get the 500-foot cut through. If that's what I understand it to be, then I'm all in favor of it, and I have nothing else to say. But I thought it would be important to make sure that there's no ambiguity and we are all clear as to what the agreement is.
All right. I'd like to hear from staff. Ben, can you come up?
I understand what it is. So based on the graphic that the applicant provided, assuming it's accurate, it sounds like Dodson said the agreement would be we wouldn't lease any of the area unless it was at least 5 feet deep.
At
mean low water. So looking at this drawing, we'd have to use the one that's green that's 5 to 6 feet, because, or maybe the yellow one, but it's 4 to 5 feet. So we don't really have one that clearly defines where the 5 foot line starts. It would exclude a big portion of the center area. And, of course, this is going to require someone to ground truth this, us, I think, as to where that contour line is, which we can do. They had a private surveyor do their original survey, and certainly I guess they could hire him to do it, and he's an LS, so if he certifies where the depths are, we'd accept it. If we do it...
Would this require basically a resubmission of an application, of an amended application?
I don't think so, but I think it would require that someone go out and actually make sure what you see on this graph or establish where the 5 foot line is. And if everyone's agreeable that that's what they want, that can be done by either our staff or Bay Design Group. And three, we've got to have new drawings of this anyway, because there is no plat of these three areas. There's just the drawing the applicant gave us. So it can certainly be done if everyone's agreeable and the commission wants to approve that this lease will start offshore at 5 foot, mean low water, and go all the way out to the public ground, I guess, because no one seems to object to that. In these three areas, that can be done. I would say the problematic part for us as staff is that we will get no money out of this if we do it.
We can make part of the motion if that's the case. The private surveyor will do it.
We can charge an hourly rate to do it. If Bay Design Groups does it, they're going to charge the and whatever they charge.
Mr. Ballard.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but typically when we see these sorts of compromises, that it's almost a private compromise between two parties, and it's their compromise and the protester saying, we'll agree to withdraw our protest if you do this, this, and this. I've rarely seen us actually impose conditions on these applications or modify lease sizes as part of a compromise.
Well, I don't want to contradict you, but in the previous application of this family to the north, you did that. You shrunk the size of their lease. We recommended some modification, but y'all proactively did that at the hearing. Y'all have the ability to approve as requested or approved in modified form or denied, and modified can be the day today. If we establish that these three areas, if you're going to lease them all, with or without an alleyway at the top, it's not a condition, it's going to be how we survey them. And then they'll be platted, and once they're platted, that's what they get. It's not like a permit where it's a condition. We will just survey these, somebody will survey these, starting at 5 feet and go deeper. You know, I don't have any problem with that if the applicant is okay with it. Just somebody's got to do it. We do it. I would recommend that we charge the applicant an hourly fee for us to go out and establish these lines.
Okay. Where we are, as I see it, is that it is amenable and agreeable to the protesters that, and what I want to do is I want staff recommendations to reflect, excuse me, to reflect this. That we will go out to the 5 foot depth line.
Mean low water.
Losing my voice. And then to the public ground.
Right, all sure.
Okay. Is that staff recommendations at this juncture?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Include the 500 foot that he originally. Okay, I just wanted to clear that ambiguity. Thank you.
Correct.
We'll start at 5 foot mean low water, go out to the public ground line with a 500 foot reduction of excluded area that would be left vacant.
Yep. Ms. Rowland, come forward. Are staff recommendations acceptable to the applicant?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Any opposition to staff recommendations? There being none, the matter is before the commission. Mr. Tankard.
I move to approve the amended application as staff has just presented.
Is there a second to the motion? Ms. Everett? Motion and second. Further discussion? Mr. Ballard? And Ms. Lusk?
I just want to make sure the applicant is truly comfortable with this, and I might not be understanding it, but a lot's transpired in the last 3 minutes here, and I want to give the applicant some time to think about it. But from what I understood, the normal depths you guys were looking to operate in were 4 to 5 feet or 4 to 6 feet. And what's just been proposed is that the lease would be resized to be from 5 feet at mean low water. So that's only allowing you kind of 5 feet and deeper. And whether you've had a chance to look and figure out how much space that actually is and understand exactly what's about to happen here.
It allows us 25% of what we originally applied for, or amended, excuse me, of what was amended. I think we were agreeing to this initially because we wanted a compromise that would move forward quickly today so we could continue to use or start using this lease as soon as possible. We really want to be in 4.5 foot depths, but in the issue of, in the matter of expediting this and also being neighborly, we were willing to entertain it. And I think my biggest concern is we do this, and then VMRC doesn't have the staff to address this quickly. So,
we'll handle it as quickly as possible.
I appreciate that
yep.
very much.
Do you have any further questions, Mr. Ballard?
No.
All right.
Do you have other comments?
Yes, sir. In opposition.
So what's happened is. This morning we've heard from the applicant, we've heard from the MRC. People you didn't hear from were the people who protested the application.
Well, now let me sure, go now proceed.
And you know, it's easy to hear one side of the story, but you know, the people who protested did it in good faith, and we had a story to tell. And you know, my sense is that you're getting a sense that they're sort of a victimized party here, and that's not really the case. I want to say that the people who are here have accommodated her this morning and accommodated the applicant as well as her accommodating us. Now, the other point is, and I think this is a legality that I'm just going to point out as a commenter, not as an attorney, but the other people who are not here, who are not able to comment, I don't know how their voice will be heard or what their reaction will be to whatever the revised version is. I can speak for myself, and the other people here have spoken for themselves that we're willing to accommodate. But we don't want to go against. We don't want to characterize this as a group agreement that, in fact, might not be the case.
Well, just keep in mind that the commission has ruled that the hearing will be held today. You're not responsible for that decision. The commission is. And what we have done today is heard, and anyone that wishes to be heard, and their protest or whatever will be taken into consideration as well. So we understand that when you go back, you won't have to worry about who made the decision. The commission will make the decision. You won't be responsible for the decision, and that's on the record. I can assure you. Thank you, sir. Yes, ma'am. Step forward.
If we move forward with this, does this put this issue to bed and there's no ability to protest moving forward? I imagine there's administrative appeal, but this will be the commission's final.
There is always the opportunity within 30 days to appeal the commission's decision to the circuit court.
Sure.
Always, regardless of what hearing it is. Is that correct, counsel?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm aware of that.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Tell me if I'm wrong, but even if the case is appealed and we do this work, make the plats, we will proceed with assigning the ground unless an injunction is filed in court to stop that.
Understood.
Yeah. I'm not even sure there's a mechanism for someone to file an injunction in these particular cases, but
it's been bantered in the past.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
One way you could stop a permit that was issued
okay.
being executed, but this
okay.
is not a permit, this is a
All right. Matters before the commission? Or we think we have a vote. Go ahead.
The way I see it, the applicants, they applied for a large tract. This was reviewed by staff, narrowed down to three separate tracts, which staff thought was allowable and was accepted by the applicant originally. If this new, I guess, second amended situation is truly agreeable to all the parties, then I would support the motion. But I'm still not convinced that it was absolutely necessary, given Commissioner Ballard's remarks on the frequent instances that we see of sort of private arrangements. And also point out that oftentimes, just because you have a certain acreage of lease doesn't mean that it will be inundated with oyster cages. It's not going to be 100% coverage necessarily. Also, we have heard that the two leases above are not actively being used for oyster cages.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, you know, I wouldn't oppose the motion, but I'm not sure that I'm not super convinced that it was necessary.
Well, under Robert's rules, you can always make a substitute motion. But at the present time, the motion is on the floor to approve as re-described by staff. Mr. Ballard?
Question for staff. Once, essentially what the motion is to revise the lease application and approve it. So these areas that have been carved out will still be considered vacant ground?
Yes.
Is that correct? Okay.
It'll be applied for again by somebody else.
So if the applicant, what I'm weighing here is that the applicant, what I don't want is the applicant or the protesters to leave here and regret the decision that they've made. But essentially what we're doing is saying, okay, we're going to go ahead and take this 25% that seems agreeable to all and let them start operating on that. And, you know, the rest would have to be reapplied for, go through a hole if they later decide they wanted more. Yeah. Okay.
And I think you'll see in one of those letters that I just gave you, there was a request that you didn't approve any of this or even some of it, that the landowners had first right of refusal to apply. Well, they have that already by code. If they own enough frontage, they can get a riparian lease. It doesn't matter if they still get it. So any landowner here that owns 25 feet has the right to apply anytime, as long as it's not at least all the way up to the shore, which is not. So yeah, they'd have to apply if anything further offshore. But we don't, we've been asked that before, and this, when the commission denies something, could people have first right of refusal to come back? And the law is not written to accommodate them. It's vacant ground.
There's a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much for your hard work, and I apologize for the flow of the hearing. I just was trying to do it in the best interest of compromise.
We'll try to get our crew out working on it as soon as possible.
Thank you.